Two-time Pulitzer Prize winner, New York Times bestselling author, and master historian David McCullough brings to life two of the most iconic figures in American history in his new book, The Wright Brothers. Regarded by many in their times as mere bicycle mechanics, Wilbur and Orville Wright were, in reality, self-taught geniuses of truly exceptional capacity of mind, pioneering scientific explorers, and the men who taught the world how to fly. David McCullough won Pulitzers for his biographies Truman and John Adams. He is the recipient of the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the nation's highest civilian award. David McCullough will join me for a live taping of the book show at a June 2nd event hosted by Northshire Bookstore in Saratoga Springs. And then the next night will be at the New York State Education Building in Albany for a public event June 3rd, presented by the New York State Archives Partnership Trust. It is a great pleasure and an honor to welcome David McCullough to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. It's always a great pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you.
I can't tell you how much I enjoyed this book and what I got out of it. And let me just begin with a line that I said in the introduction about this exceptional capacity of mind, which to me seems to be a theme in your work at looking at individuals that have this tremendous capacity of mind.
Well, thank you. I feel that the story of the Wright brothers is a classic American adventure. It's literally, physically, an adventure in that they go off into a realm of sky and sand and water and uncertainty in their experiments at Kitty Hawk and back again at Dayton. But it was also an enormously important and exciting intellectual adventure, and they were treading ground intellectually nobody had ever been before, and the fact that they did it on their own, and they were, as you know now, young men who never went to college, who had no technical training, who never worked with other technicians on a project, and yet were willing to take on what was thought to be an impossible task and loved doing it, and had of necessity to possess great physical courage, because every time they went up in one of their test flights, they knew they were running a good risk of being killed. I came away admiring them enormously for numbers of reasons I never would have imagined when I first began work on the project. My knowledge of the Wright brothers was, as you said, what most of us learned in high school history in about 10 minutes, that they were bicycle mechanics from Ohio who invented the airplane, all of which is true. But there's so much more to it, and so much more from which we all can learn something.
One of the things that I found fascinating about the book was the competition that was going on. And what you write about is the advantage that they had, brilliance being a great part of it, in creating the first plane.
Well, Wilbur put it very succinctly memorably when he said there are two ways to train an untrained horse. One is to sit on the fence and make notes and then retire to a comfortable chair and write a thesis on how a wild horse could be trained. The other one is get on the horse and ride it. And that's exactly what they did that was different from many of the noted theorists of aviation at the time, people like the engineer Octave Chanute or the great American scientists of the time, head of the Smithsonian, Samuel Langley, neither of whom ever ventured into the air on a glider or a motor-powered flying machine. But the Wright brothers got on and rode, which was consistent, too, with their work with bicycles. You can read all you want to read about how to ride a bicycle, but the way to learn to ride a bicycle is to get on the bicycle and fall off and get back on and ride for a while. And again, with their experimental work with in aviation, they quickly realized that the real secret to it was balance, just as it is with a bicycle. And they had to learn to balance themselves when riding with the wind. And they learned to ride with the wind, or on the wind, by watching soaring birds who get up there and don't flap their wings. They just sail with the wind. How do they do it? As Orville said, that learning the secret of flight from a bird was very much like learning the secret of a magic trick from a magician.
Mm.
The birds were the magicians. And how did they do their trick? That's what they figured out as no one had.
The book is titled The Wright Brothers, but it could have been titled The Wright Brothers and Their Remarkable Sister Catherine.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm very pleased you feel that way. I felt that Catherine, that credit was long overdue for Catherine. She's mentioned in other books about the brothers, but she was really a wonderful character, and colorful, bright, funny, sociable, and she had a temper. She could get, as she said, she could get wrathy, and she was often keeping them in line. Their mother had died when they were all teenagers. And she was the woman of the house, their father, Bishop Wright, being a itinerant missionary preacher, was away a good half of every year. So she ran the house, more or less, but she also kept them in line. And she was always there when they needed her. And I truly believe that were it not for her, the story would not necessarily have come out the way it did.
You tell a remarkable story about when Orville had his terrible crash at the Army field at Fort Myer, that it was Catherine who gets on a train, goes to his bedside, and is, as you say, that in many ways she saved his life, but if nothing else, she saved his outlook on life.
Yes, she did. Because he was badly, severely damaged physically, broken bones and many bruises and injuries, a big slash across his face. But he was also damaged in his mood and his outlook. And his, today we would say he was suffering from depression. And she pulled him through that. And her attention to his physical needs in the hospital for a month or more, and to his outlook, his mood, which his he'd always been somewhat moody. He had what in the family were called his peculiar spells, and this was a severe one. It was thought he might never walk again, let alone fly again. He not only walked again, he flew again and broke world's records. It was an amazing recovery, and due in very large part to her attention and her affection for him. She and Orville were very close in age and very close from childhood on, more so than she was with Wilbur or Orville was even with Wilbur, because Wilbur was the older brother by nearly 5 years and the big brother, the boss. And he was the genius of the pair. No question about it. Orville was a very clever, ingenious mechanically, but Wilbur had a reach of mind that was far beyond the norm, or even high intelligence, and that has to be taken into account.
Let's talk a little bit about the dynamic between the two brothers, because Orville was shy, did not want to give a talk in front of an audience, and Wilbur was the dominant force in the partnership. But the dynamic personally between the two brothers was what?
They were very fond of each other and very dependent upon each other, but they could argue something terrific, and mainly over what the best, the solution to a, one of the innumerable problems that they face. And one would have one point of view and the other would have the other, and they would get to the point where they were shouting at each other. They would also get to the point where they reversed sides. By the end of the day, the Orville's position would have become Wilbur's, and Wilbur's would have become Orville's. But this was part of their way of working out a problem. And two heads were better than one, no question about it.
I always enjoy asking you this question when we talk about your books, and because both in Truman and in John Adams, and certainly as in A Greater Journey as well, you talk about the importance in the research of the book of the letters. And it seems Catherine, of course, having many of those letters, but private family letters being a huge part of the research in this book as well.
Indeed it was. And one of the thrills of the investigation into their lives was to discover two things. First of all, that they wrote down everything, either in their diaries or in their letters. And consequently, there are over 1,000 letters concerning their professional lives, but there are also over 1,000 letters concerning their private lives. The private family correspondence and the professional papers are all at the Library of Congress. And they pour themselves out on paper, and they were superb writers. Their father had insisted that they not only learn to use the English language correctly, but effectively. I think they were incapable of writing a dull letter or a short one. And so the richness of the record of their personal lives, the biographical raw material they left, is as good as I've ever seen with anyone, even including Adams and Truman, who were all great letter writers.
I
think that they're also, I saw this book as the third book in a trilogy, beginning with the Brooklyn Bridge, then the Panama Canal, and then the advent of flight. All immensely important American accomplishments, all unprecedented in their ambition, their far-reaching daring, and dangerous, and deadly. People died building the Brooklyn Bridge. People died by the thousands building the Panama Canal, and because of malaria and yellow fever. And here again, these people were risking their lives, not just the Wrights, but those French aviators and others, many of whom were killed in the process. There's an old adage that novelists sometimes refer to: "Keep your hero in trouble." Well, there's no problem with that, with this story, because they're in trouble one way or another, again and again and again, and they don't give up. I think that's also characteristic of other people that I've written about. Truman wouldn't give up. They knew that failure was part of life, it was a fact of life if you were trying to do something that nobody dared try to do before. And the same with the George Washington in the book that I wrote about 1776. They didn't give up, even though there was every reason to think they had no chance whatsoever of defeating the British, of winning independence. They would not give up. And we all need to be reminded about that, that if you're knocked down, you don't lie there and cry and lapse into self-pity or start blaming others. You get back up and learn something from why you got knocked down, and keep on.
And there is that support, and I guess that was so fascinating, going back to Catherine, but there was a familial support system that that helped in that.
And from their father, too.
Yes.
Their father was behind them the whole time. He didn't understand an awful lot of what they were doing. And to his credit, he was always very fair in his judgment about all three of them. However, as two of them realized, his favorite, quite obviously, was Wilbur. He saw clearly that Wilbur was extraordinary and deserved all the encouragement possible. One of the reasons that they never finished high school is that they were too busy with their own projects and they wanted to get going on them. And while they were in school, both in high school and grade school, if they had some project that the father thought was pretty interesting and commendable, he'd say, well, stay home from school and work on the project today. He took that to be a better learning experience, as we would say, than necessarily to be found in school.
The name of the new book is The Wright Brothers. It's published by Simon & Schuster. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.